Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us. Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us, that we darkest night, let your light shine on us. Lord, let your grace, grace from your hand, darkest night. Let your grace fall on us. Lord, let your love, love with no end, come over us. Lord, your love, love with no end, come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the dark. Night. Let your love come over us. Let your light shine on us.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good, I hope. Again, thank you for being here with us this morning, as to worship with us, but also to celebrate our 2017 graduates along with their families. If you'll notice the insert in your bulletin, I've got a few things to correct. I kind of messed that up. Maggie Odell is actually graduating from Northwest Guilford High School, not North Surrey High School, because she lives in Greensboro. And also, we'd like to add Zach Gregory, who is officially a Marine now. He assures me that he can do more pull-ups than everyone in this building. So yeah, he's officially a Marine. He made it through what I would like to think of something I would probably never like to do. So congratulations on that. I have really enjoyed getting to know this year's graduates. It's been a blessing for me to get to know these kids and their families, and to have them be a part of my life and Melissa's life in a meaningful way. And actually, this year's college graduates were in my first group of seniors that I actually had here at Calvary. So it's pretty special to be able to see them put their big boy and girl pants on and be adults. So you probably already know this about the youth ministry at Calvary, but if you don't, we seek for our students that come through here to respond to and draw near to Christ's love for them. We try to create space and meaningful opportunities for them to grow spiritually, and we want kids to come to know and experience and follow Jesus in a real and intimate way, a way in which they walk with him daily and daily in fellowship, and where his words and his life and his spirit transform their hearts. We want them to have a Christ behind me, Christ in front of me, Christ beside me, Christ above me, Christ below me type of attitude and kind of heart. And then we want that love of Jesus that's growing in them to pour out of them in everything they think, say, and do, but also to everyone they encounter and conversate with on a daily basis. And so to point kids that come through this church to Jesus in this way that we're talking about, our focus as a youth ministry is spending time in prayer and spending time in the gospel, spending time in Jesus' life. The culture is changing so much with what our kids are exposed to and how they relate to others. It's getting easier for them to separate God, their God lives, from the other parts of their lives, instead of experiencing that daily fellowship and friendship with Jesus that I think he calls us all to live with him. And it's getting harder and harder for these kids to grasp onto Jesus in a real way that truly affects their hearts and lives, where they actually follow him in a radical way that he calls us to do. And so my philosophy is, the more we sit around and talk about Jesus and read his words and look at his life, the better off we'll be. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit and how they respond to it. A lot of people think of glorified babysitting when they think of youth ministry, or they think that these kids might not really care or just don't get it sometimes. But I'm here to tell you that it's special to watch these kids grow in their relationships with Christ and experience his love for them from year to year. We are praying and reading the Bible and having real conversations when we're down in the dungeon. We're not just goofing off and eating pizza. So I'm sure you know that about us, but I just wanted to say that. Like, these kids, it's awesome to watch them grow in their relationship with Jesus. And so I've asked a couple of our graduates. Again, Emma's not with us this morning. She, if you weren't here earlier, she had to go to the hospital. But I've gotten word that she's okay and on the mend, so just be thinking and praying about her. But before Maggie shares with us a few things about her testimony and her time here at Calvary, I just want to share a few things about these graduates that I see and how I kind of see Jesus working in their lives. And so I'm going to start with Sydney Folk. I've known Sydney. She's one of the first kids I met when I came to Calvary, first moved to Mount Airy. I've been able to be a part of both hers and her sister's baptisms here at the church, and that's been a really cool thing for me to be a part of. And I followed her through the years and watched her grow and play softball and volleyball, and I haven't really gotten to know Sydney as well as I would have liked to, and a lot of that is my fault, but we've stayed in touch a little bit. But one thing that I would say that I appreciate about Sydney Folk is her overall demeanor and how she carries herself. Every time I've been around to her or talked to her, she has a quiet and humble and reserved presence about her. When she plays sports, it seems to me that she just plays the game and she doesn't let her emotions overwhelm her. And coming from someone who, growing up playing sports, let their emotions overwhelm him, it's very special to see a teenager who is so joyful when they're playing a sport and they're not worried about all the other stuff that comes along with that. And I'm only talking about the times that I have watched Sydney myself. If any of you have seen Sydney act out while playing a sport, please come let me know after the service. But I do have to say, seriously, there's a piece of heart. When I have a conversation with Sydney, there's a piece of heart that sticks out to me about her, and someone who lives their life and speaks with such a humility and a peace of heart, such as Sydney does. They have to have some sort of relationship with Jesus. That's how Christ lived his life and carried himself, and that's how I see Sid following Jesus in her own life. And so thank you for that. And now, good old Matt Phillips. I first met Matt in the lunchroom at Gentry Middle School when I first got here. I think he was in eighth grade. But I went over and sat down with him, and in typical Matt fashion, he was shooting paper clips with a rubber band at some kid like two tables down, and I was like, what have I gotten myself into? Matt, God love him, I love you so much, Matt. Matt has the hardest head of anyone on this planet. And you just learn to accept that and grow with that, and Matt has changed a ton since he was in eighth grade till now. I can't even begin to explain the changes I've seen in Matt's life since then. But the Holy Spirit has definitely worked on creating a patience inside of my heart over the last 6 years or so with Matt Phillips. And, you know, Matt is part of the reason I'm more patient. So thank you, Matt. And there's one thing that used to get on my nerves so bad about Matt, but eventually I just learned to laugh with him and take a breath and get past it. And Jim and Lynette know what I'm talking about. But it's always that you have to repeat what you say to Matt. Always. Like, when you say something to Matt, you're going to have to say it a second time. And it's his first response to everything is always, what? What? And I figured out really quickly how his brain works. He hears you the first time you say it, but he's not listening to you. And so this is how his brain works. He does this because if you're not saying anything he doesn't care about, he doesn't want to listen to you. He has selective hearing. And so what he'll do is let everything go in one ear and out the other the first time you say it, unless there's like a word or a phrase that catches a piece of his brain on the way out. And he'll be like, wait, what? So for example, here's an example. If you're talking to Matt, and you say, like, Matt, go sit in that chair. You'll have to say it again. But if you say, Matt, how's your truck and diesel? Like, if you say the words truck or diesel in the sentence, it's gonna catch. And he's going to be like, wait, what? And so Matt, I've got a lot of funny stories about Matt. But he's the one who introduced me to an interesting store. Now, you guys know I'm a city slicker. I think that's very obvious. And this was one of the weirdest experiences of my life, but I took Matt and Bryce and Varney out to lunch one day, and we were riding around after, and Matt kind of leans over and elbows me and says, hey, let's go check this place out. I had no idea. He didn't tell me anything else. He just, no explanation. He was like, just drive this way. He was giving me directions. And so we show up at this store called Mountain Man. Now, see, you're laughing because you know what that is. I grew up in the city, and this shouldn't be a real place. But if you don't know, Mountain Man's a store on 52 headed up towards the Parkway in Virginia, and it only sells giant rebel flags, military-grade fireworks that you would see at like a Dash game, knives, and peaches. That's all it sells. And so the whole time I was like, what in the world are we doing? But that explains Matt Phillips. When we watch the slideshow, so does his first picture. You'll kind of get a good idea of Matt. But Matt's always been Matt, and you get what you get, and you just love him and walk with him, and he's got a great heart. He'll roll coal and squeal tires out of the cookout parking lot. But then he'll sit down with me at lunch and tell me a story about how this guy he was driving behind, a bunch of stuff fell out of their truck, and how he got out and pulled over and helped him pick it up, because that's just what you do. Colonial, you know, our ministry here at Colonial, where we have people, the praise band goes and like serves Colonial and plays music and spends time with those people over there. Matt does that every time. He's there every time helping serve and do that. You really just can tell that Matt has a servant's heart. And it's clear to me that that Jesus and his love for Matt are stirring somewhere deep down inside his heart. And it's only a matter of time before Matt's heart and Jesus' heart collide. And so I really enjoyed doing this with Matt. And so now on to sweet Emma Jane, who again is not here, but we'll be praying and thinking about her. But my first memory of Emma was the first ever messy games that we did together. Emma loves messy games. It was her, I think, one of her favorite things to do. You know, we didn't do it for a couple years, and she was like, Bracy, let's do it again. And if you don't know what messy games is, it's where I buy a bunch of food and we throw it at each other and play games that get us real messy, if you've ever seen the pictures of that. But I can remember the very first messy games I did with this youth group. We were playing Duck, Duck, Goose, and you hit the person on the head with an egg when you say goose, and then they get up and chase you. And I can remember the first time Emma got hit on the head with an egg, and I believe it was Matt who did it that first time, which makes perfect sense, right? But there was so much joy in her heart just watching her run around as like a freshman in high school or whatever she was when I first met her. Just so much joy and laughter and that smile. But Emma's been through some ups and downs in her high school career. It's been easy for me to tell that the joy of Christ is in her heart, even if that gets a little lost sometimes in what's going on. And so not only was that evident in situations like messy games, but I remember last year before we went to Belize how unhappy Emma was. She was going through some tough things in life that teenagers go through and parents of teenagers go through. And my prayer for Emma in Belize was that she experienced a joy in her life through the presence of Jesus again, to find that in her heart again. And sure enough, while we were in Belize, I saw that in her. Emma was the happiest I had seen her in months in Belize. And it was because she was able to get away from all the crap that she was dealing with and putting pressure on herself back home. She was able to experience freedom and joy in Christ with her friends, and it was beautiful to watch that. My wife's laughing at me because I said crap in a sermon. But Emma, forgive me. But Emma brought that joy home with her from Belize. Our kids have so much pressure from their friends and their parents to perform a certain way, to look a certain way, to be a certain way, and it gets to become too much. And the best thing in the world as a youth minister and probably for some parents is when a teenager realizes that they are loved by the God of the universe and that who they are in Jesus is the only thing that matters. It's only then can you experience this joy and freedom in Christ that he wants for our hearts. Emma's a free spirit. She's vulnerable. She's laid back. She likes Skittles and puppies and baby ducks from Tractor Supply. And she's always willing to have an open conversation with you about what's going on in her life. That's one thing I really appreciate about Emma is she's always been very real with me and open with me about things in her life. And so I thank her for that. Last but not least, Maggie Odell. Maggie doesn't get to come to a lot of youth Bible studies and things and youth events because she lives in Greensboro. But you can bet that when she's here on Sunday that she'll be in this church. I think she considers this her church family, and I thank her for that. And so every Sunday when Maggie is here, she adds a deeper level to our conversation as a youth group. Whatever we're talking about that morning in Sunday school, you can tell that her heart is stirring. She's always asking the right questions and says the right things. You can tell she's actually thinking about what we're talking about and listening. And she asks questions that help other kids think or be challenged in a way that maybe I haven't yet, which is what I appreciate about her. And I'm always so thankful for her words and encouraged by her desire to grow deeper in her relationship with Jesus. But the one thing that I appreciate most about Maggie, and very few teenagers I can say this about, but she's always the same. She knows who she is and she knows whose she is. I know very few kids who are as comfortable in who they are as Maggie is. There's always a freedom and joy that I was talking about. There's always a freedom and a joy and a love in Christ that pours out of Maggie whenever I'm around her. She doesn't care what other kids think about her. She doesn't put pressure on herself to be what she thinks other kids or other people want her to be. She's just always genuine and always herself, and that is the one thing that teenagers struggle with the most. And she is that way because she knows who she is. She knows who her heart belongs to. The reason she's so free in herself and that she's so happy outside of her circumstances is because she knows Jesus in a deep and intimate way that's changed her life. She knows that she's valued and loved by the God of the universe, and she pours that love back out into others every chance that she gets. One of the ways we love God is by how we love others, and it's evident that Maggie values that in her own journey with Christ. Many of you probably don't know this about Maggie, but she also leads a group of high school girls in Young Life through the organization Young Life, which many of you know I'm a part of here, but Maggie helps lead a group of high school girls back in Greensboro, and I can only imagine how her own love for Jesus points those girls to the heart of Jesus and the heart of what it really means to follow him. There's something about someone who follows Christ in such a joyful and freeing way that just draws people closer to them. And I think Maggie has that. And so I've asked Maggie and Emma to share a few things with us. I'm going to read Emma's later because I know that was done very well. But Maggie's going to share some things with us, and I texted her about a month ago and said, you know, I want y'all to share some things with the church on graduation Sunday. And so every week or so I'll text them and say, how's it going? Do you need any help? Do you need anything from me? And every time I've sent that text out, Maggie has replied and said, relax, Bracy, I've got this. And so she does got it. So let's hear from Maggie.
Good morning. As Bracy just told you all, my name is Maggie Odell, and on Friday I graduated from Northwest Guilford High School. In the fall, I will be attending NC State University to major in biology and hopefully double major in Spanish as well. I'm planning to work hard to eventually get my graduate degree in physical therapy. I'm so excited to see the path that God is going to be leading me down in these next couple of years. I could not be where I am today without the encouragement and support from my friends and family, and as well as the love shown to me by my church family. Thank you, and I love you all. The scripture I'm going to be sharing with you guys today is John chapter 8, 1 through 11, which can be found on page 757 in your pew Bible. All right. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the elder ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Many of you may not know a lot about me. I live most of the time in Greensboro with one family and come to Mount Airy to see my other family generally every other weekend, or as much as my super busy schedule can allow. I love spending time exercising, whether it be indoor at the gym or outdoors, hiking in the mountains or playing in the river. I work very hard in school, and I'm excited to say I graduated with the highest honors in the top 10% of my class. I babysit a lot to make a little money on the side, and I love the kids that I babysit. I swam, acting as co-captain and captain and then participated in track, throwing shot put, and discus during school, as well as volunteering with many organizations throughout high school. All of these activities plus family and friend time lead to a very busy schedule. And busy schedule or not, there are many conflicts that arise in a teenager's years of high school, and I think I can say I experienced a decent amount. There is one specific conflict I experienced with someone who is very dear to my heart. Not going to name any names, because as you'll find out by the end of my spiel, the conflict was solved without anyone, the other, knowing it was even occurring. You see, I'm a person who enjoys keeping my sad and angry feelings inside my head because I don't like to bother anyone with my problems. So God sure did get to hear a lot of in our time together. In this specific conflict, I felt the feeling of hatred for the first time. It is the most horrible, heart-hurting feeling I've ever experienced, and if anyone in here has ever felt this feeling, you know it's pretty bad. Anyways, this feeling of hatred was eating me up inside. I couldn't stand the way this person did anything, from eating, speaking, walking, and especially talking. These things drove me crazy, and I saw the huge amount of sin that this person was committing in their life. I began to judge them as the Pharisees judged the woman in this story. This judgment brought even more hatred into my heart. I would sit and dwell over their sinful actions all day. I could barely look at them. I struggled with all these feelings for about 2 months until I came into church one Sunday, and Pastor Alex was telling us the story of the woman who committed adultery. As I have just read, she was to be stoned for her sin that she committed. She was to have jagged, sharp rocks continually thrown at her until she learned her lesson. Jesus stepped in and saved the day, just like he always does. As we read in verse 7, he says, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." None of the men were able to throw stones because they realized they had sinned just as much as the adulteress had. As I listened to the sermon, I heard Jesus speaking the same thing to me. This made me realize what I was doing. I was acting as the Pharisees and throwing stones at this person with my judgment and my hatred unbeknownst to them. I was noticing their every sinful act without paying attention to myself. I realized I had sinned just as much as this person had and had no right or reason to judge them the way I was. I cried the whole service that morning. I cried because I realized my sins and how Jesus, the perfect and beautiful man of God who walked this earth, could forgive this woman who had sinned, and I was struggling to forgive someone who was no worse than me. I cried because I learned that although I had thought horrible things about this person and had done so many sinful things in my life, I'm always forgiven by God. It is hard to believe that God loves each and every one of us with all of his heart. As said in verse 11, Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you." His grace and mercy are so abundant. I like to think I have changed a lot since that moment. I haven't felt the feeling of hatred for that person or any other person since then. I have forgiven them and loved them ever since. I've begun to show the love that I realize my Father has for me, to every single person I meet, whether they be a horrible person or a good person. I have loved them the same because we all are all sinners and we are all forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you guys see from this story that God loves you no matter what you have done. He gave his only son for you and my sins. He is standing waiting for you with arms wide open. On to my time at Calvary. I don't spend as much time here as most of you do because I'm only in Mount Airy for about 2 of the 4 Sundays every month. But on those Sundays, I get to hear amazing music from our Uplift Band and beautiful singing from our choir. The words sung by these beautiful voices leave a lasting impression on my heart each time. I love hearing Pastor Alex's sermons every Sunday. They add a little more insight on my journey with God, and I love walking into the youth room and having some smart aleck point to say to Alex Bracey, and I love the love he continues to show me no matter what. I love the lessons he teaches and the fellowship I get to spend with all of the other youth. I've been blessed with Alex Bracey in my life for the past 4 years. He listens and does not judge. He loves me no matter what. Even though he only came to eat lunch with me one time, I still love him and know that he loves me. I will never forget the memories that I made here. From the first ski trip I went on to Belize, they will stick with me forever. My favorite moment I have spent with my Calvary Church family is in Copper Banks, Belize. I saw the love and fellowship more than I have ever seen. And as I walk back into this church each time, I remember that amazing time and I am able to recognize the love and fellowship in my own church. I'm so excited to learn more and more about Jesus at NC State and to share my love for Jesus with everyone around me. I plan to join a local church with some of my friends as well as a small group. I'm also excited to come to Calvary during breaks and share my stories of college with anyone who is willing to listen. I love so much the never-ending joy and encouragement I receive from this church family. My favorite verse in the Bible is Matthew 7, 24 through 27, which says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I like to think that this church has helped me to build the foundation on the rock in my relationship with God, and I can't thank everyone enough for praising Jesus alongside of me for the past 4 years. Thank you and love you all.
I told the early service that I had to hold back some tears because Maggie used the same scripture that one of the ones I'm going to talk about too, and we didn't communicate before. Her favorite verse in the Bible is actually one I'm going to talk about with the graduates now. And so as I was thinking about what to say to the graduates this past week, Jesus pointed me to a couple of passages, and the first one is Matthew 7, 24 through 27 that Maggie just talked about, and I'm going to read it again because I think it's so important. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so this parable, this is a parable that comes after Jesus' kingdom teaching to his followers. So the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7. And so the people listening to Jesus have just heard all this new stuff from him about what it really looks like to follow God and really live in an upside down kingdom. And he's given them, you know, a very deep inside look into God's heart. And so these words come at the end of that. And so in this parable, Jesus explains to his listeners that they must decide between himself or the current religious establishment that they are a part of. They need to either build their houses on him, the rock, or to keep building their houses on the sand. Jesus is creating a dividing line between himself, his kingdom, and his words, and any other foundation for life. And Jesus says, if you listen to my words and do them, your house will be built on a strong foundation that won't ever waver or fall when life comes at you. You will be wise. And he says, if you hear these words of mine and don't do them, you're foolish. And great will be the fall of your house because it's built on other things besides me, besides Jesus. The evidence of whether a person is a Christian or not, or the evidence of whether a person is a follower of Christ or not, is only based on the fact of whether one does / lives out the words of Jesus. That's it. In the book of John, Jesus says like 6 times in one chapter, if you love me, you'll keep my words. Graduates, be wise builders. Respond daily to Christ's love for you and build your heart and your life on Jesus. Trust in his life, death, resurrection. Trust in his promises. Choose life with him. Don't search for love and acceptance and security and happiness anywhere else except in Jesus. The culture we are a part of is getting further from God. I think we can all agree on that. Christianity is getting further from the heart and words of Jesus. It's starting to mean all these other things to be a Christian. Not to mention the fact that your life isn't going to always go as you have planned it. You might have certain steps laid out that you're expecting to happen, and it might not always happen that way. But if your heart is, as Amelia Odell has told me many times, hunkered down into Jesus, then you're going to find a peace of heart and a joy of life and a comfort in him that transcends all of that, that transcends your life and all the things that come with it. And His Spirit will be in you, and He will walk with you to help you become more like Him. We know that Jesus never promises everything in our life is going to go as we expect it or go good, but He does promise, and it's so true that He'll be with us every step of the way if we choose to trust Him. And so the second verse I wanted to read this morning is over in 1 John 2:5 through 6. And so now Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we just read in Matthew tell us that we either choose to listen to Jesus and build our house on the rock, or we continue to build our house on the sand, which is everything but Jesus, and just see what happens. And so this 1 John verse is going to help us understand what our lives should look like if we are choosing to listen to Jesus and build our house on that rock. And so 1 John was a letter written by John, who was one of Jesus' best friends and closest disciples. And it was written as an encouragement or a reminder to believers who were living in a largely non-Christian culture. People were being influenced by false gods and a pagan culture, and John kind of wanted to write them and remind them as Christ followers, and especially remind new believers to stick to what they know. He wanted them to remember who their heart belonged to not forget about the cross or to stray too far from the person of Jesus. And so graduates, you can relate to this, I think. If you follow Jesus, then you have experience in your high schools, and you definitely will in college and adulthood experience this, but you're constantly going to be surrounded by people who don't follow Jesus, who aren't trying to do what you're doing. And we all know that it's hard to follow Jesus and obey His words in the radical way that He calls us when we're surrounded by people who aren't trying to do the same thing. You know, Jesus means what He says in Matthew 5 through 7. He means don't get angry. He means to mend your relationships and don't carry around burdens. You know, He means not to lust. And all, you know, He means what He says. And so Jesus is reminding us through John that we also should not stray too far from Jesus, even though we're immersed in this culture that might not be truly following Him. And so what should a life of someone who is radically following Jesus look like? So, well, let's read 1 John 2 and find out. But whoever keeps His word in Him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. And so this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. John reminds us here of what it should look like if we are truly having that loving friendship and that loving relationship with Jesus. He says, how do we know that we have a relationship with Jesus? If we walk as Jesus walked. So graduates, as you continue to respond to God's pursuit of your heart, and as you continue to grow in your friendship with Jesus, and as you build your life on that rock, know that as Christians, we cannot just talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. Us claiming, Christ followers claiming Christianity with just our mouths doesn't cut it anymore. We have to let Jesus pour out of our hearts. It's not enough to just say we're Christian. What's your life and heart look like? You're not a Christian because your parents are Christian. You're not a Christian because you go to church on Sunday. You're not a Christian because you vote a certain way or have certain opinions on things. You're not a Christian because you're white or because you live in America. Those aren't things that make you Christian. Being a Christian is about when you respond to God's grace for yourself. It's about when you respond to the reality of the gospel, of God's love for you in your own heart by putting your life in His hands. And then you live that out with Him through His Holy Spirit as He walks with you and transforms your heart on a daily basis. It's about when we chip away at all the stupid things that we care about, and we chip away at all these things people say Christianity is supposed to be about, and we get down to that rock. When you chip all that stuff away and you get down to that rock, there at the bottom, the foundation is Jesus' life and words. That's Christianity. You know Jesus for yourself, and then you point others to Him by how you love them and by how you live your life. You don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. And Jesus' words and His life begin to become a part of your words and your life, because that's the only thing that Christianity is supposed to be about. So if we're followers of Jesus, Then as 1 John says, if we know Jesus, we should walk as he walked. So how did he walk? Well, live with humility. Some of the best advice I ever got as a 20-year-old kid was, you're not as important as you think you are. Jesus lived with an unwavering obedience and trust in his Father. If you love Jesus, listen to his words. Our love for Jesus is tied to obedience of him and his words. Live with compassion. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Let your heart break for others. Love people because Christ first loved you. Live selflessly. Put the needs of others before yourself. Be peaceful and joyful. God loves you. That's all that matters. Rest in his hope and rest in his promises. Practice patience and be kind. Practice self-control. Pray often. Jesus was always leaving the crowds and just walking away from his disciples and going to spend time with his Father. If prayer is not a part of all of our lives, we're going to have a hard time arguing that we have a relationship with Jesus. Also, spend time with Jesus in the Word. If you don't know how he calls you to live, then read about it. Forgive others. He forgave you. None of us have the right to walk around in life holding grudges with other people if we're remembering who Jesus is and what he has done for us. None of us have the right not to forgive someone from our heart, like Maggie's verse talked about. So graduates, don't ever carry around burdens or grudges with you. Show mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve, and grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Speak gently and lovingly to others. The list goes on, but if your life is in Jesus and built on that rock that we talked about earlier, and you're walking as Jesus walked, then your life should begin to look more like his. Graduates, my charge to you this morning is to build your houses, which when he says houses, he means your heart and your life, on Jesus and his words and his life. And while you're on that journey with him, we can't just talk the talk, but we also have to walk the walk as followers of Christ. God knows that we love him by how we follow his words and by how we love others. And people know that we follow Jesus by how we love them and love others. So I'm going to ask you a few questions to wrap up, graduates. There's a Christian theologian by the name of N.T. Wright, and somebody asked him, how do you know if you're a Christian? And N.T. Wright looked at the person and asked him three simple questions. He said, do you love Jesus with all your heart? And I think if we're all being honest with each other, the answer to that question is no. There's a lot of other things that we chase after and love in our life. And then he asked him the second question, do you love Jesus as much as you should? And of course, if the answer to the first question is no, it's also no to the second question. None of us love Jesus as much as we should. But then he asked him the third question. He says, do you love Jesus a little bit? And if the answer to that question is yes, which I know it is for each of these graduates, then you're going to be okay, because that means the Holy Spirit is working in you and drawing you closer to the heart of Jesus every day. And that's good enough. Let's pray. Thank you for this church family, Lord. Again, we ask that you be with Bob Peek and his family as they deal with the loss of his father, and that you be with Miss Emma Nichols as she is going through what she's going through this morning. Thank you for loving us how you have, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be here and worship you. I pray that you create in us a desire to love you more each day and to really knock away at all the other stuff that we're told to believe or say or do until we get down to your words and your life, because that's all that counts. And so we pray these things in your name. Amen.